Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I know you, so I realize not everyone knows you. So why don't you start by just introducing yourself and like tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, sure. So I am a photographer. I live in New York City, but I am originally from Australia. I decided to move to America about 6 years ago and made it happen. And so I've been living in Brooklyn now for like the last five and a half, 6 years, and have been loving just the change of pace. Like I was a little bored back in Australia, and, you know, moving to New York kind of made things a little bit more exciting for myself.
Nice. How did you choose New York?
May 2012, I came to New York to teach a photography workshop with Dan O'Day. It was our Art in the Heart series. And we spent like a month in the city, and I just fell in love with it. And, you know, like on my second day here in New York, I took this selfie in a taxi and be like, I belong in New York City. And little did I realize that, you know, it would soon be home, which is crazy to think back on now.
Where in Australia were you living?
I was in Melbourne before I jumped over here, but I'm originally from Albany in Western Australia, which is like a little tiny town of about 20,000 people. It's about 40 hours commute from New York to Albany. So it's a big journey to get back.
Are your parents still there?
Yeah. All my family's still there. So I go back twice a year, and it's a bit of a, it sucks going back, but it's great to see them.
Yeah, that's a trip. All right, for sure. And okay, so now you're in New York, you're living the hip life in Brooklyn. And are you shooting weddings or what are you doing?
Yeah, shooting weddings majority. I've been a wedding photographer now for 16 years. It's my 16th year, which is crazy.
Amazing.
A majority of my days is filled with all things weddings, but I have other things going on too. I do a lot of like education stuff as well. But you know, my main bread and butter is weddings.
Nice. And 16 years, that's no small feat. Do you still love it, or do you just do it because it's what you do? Like, how do you feel?
It comes in waves, you know. Sometimes I do a lot of elopements here in New York City now, and they're like so much fun, and they just like revitalize me because they're so creative, and I get so much freedom in doing what I want to do. Whereas like big weddings, you know, there's such strict timelines and expectations and all these crazy things and stress that go into those that I find totally. Those ones burn me out a little bit now. And then the small intimate ones are kind of make me happy again.
Yeah, that's fair. What do you think? What would the perfect inquiry look like? Like if you were to open your email and just have like the dream inquiry, what would it say?
It would be a cool couple that generally have probably like creative careers going on, and it doesn't even really matter where it is, as long as they're just like a cool, relaxed couple that like fully trust in what I do and don't need to be micromanaged and all that. And most of my clients are that way, which is amazing. Like even like sometimes the big crazy weddings that, you know, can sometimes be stressful still at the end of the day. When I look back on it, I'm like, oh, the clients are still like had complete trust in what I do. And that's all I really want. So one wedding I've got next year is at a chateau in the French countryside somewhere. And that was like the dream one to book.
Nice.
So I was excited for that.
Do you shoot a lot of destination or mostly in New York?
A few years ago when I was transitioning from Australia to like New York, it was all destination because I could barely book a New York wedding just because I wasn't really known here. And in also in the, like the price point where, you know, I shoot at. So like up until like 2 years ago, I was majority flying other places for weddings, but I got really kind of burnt out from doing that as well. So the last few years and now that I'm also a few years into being in New York, I'm pretty much booking solidly in New York and I'm enjoying that. I have a lot of other like things outside of photography going on now as well, which I'm enjoying, you know, being home on Sundays for and that. So I'm finding the life balance is suiting me really well now.
Nice. Well done. That is a tough one. And I always wonder how those photographers that do like all destination just survive. Like, do they just get home and sleep and then go to the next one?
I think so. But from my experience and experience of my friends, it seems like they get really sick all the time. Just like,
you know, yeah, being on planes and
germs on planes and they just burn themselves out. And then like they have to go hibernate for a few months. Just to kind of recover from it. So
recover.
I've been there and done that. And now on the other side of that, which is wonderful.
Yes. That's a younger man or woman's game. I feel like you can't do it forever.
Yeah. You do it for a few years. It's fun. Like if you're single and you know, don't need to be home as such, or you don't even really have a home, then, you know, living out of a suitcase is awesome. But once there's incentive to be home, you don't really want to go away anymore. Well, not very often anyway.
Do you have kids or anything?
I have two cats. They're like my babies.
That counts. What are their names?
Possum Magic Blake and Jesse O'Connor.
Amazing.
They're two rescue cats that me and my boyfriend got the first month we moved in together. Like we knew, when we moved in together, it was planned that we were going straight to the cat rescue and adopting cats. He'd been in New York for multiple years. He's been here for like 12, 15 or something years now, and he's never had his own pet here, and I was desperate for a pet. So
yeah, a house without cats is no cats at all, or no house at all, I always say.
We would have all the animals if we could, you know, if it wasn't for like a little tiny New York apartment. We would have dogs and birds and all the rescues. We would just rescue everything.
You know, I never thought about like having a bird until the other day, because I have a dog and two cats, and I walked out into my hallway and I heard this like sound of a bird I had never heard before. And I guess my neighbor got a bird and I was like, oh, a bird. I could probably fit a bird in there.
We kind of have a pet bird living on our deck. We have like this outdoor area, and a mourning dove has lived there for like the last 3 years and has birthed many babies. And
amazing.
We kind of see her as our pet as well.
Love it. You know, oddly, you're not the first person from New York that I've heard of. I had a client from out there who had like a sparrow that like lived on their windowsill for like years and years.
Yeah.
I think it's like a thing. Awesome. You're in the city. You guys are all, everyone's thrown together so closely that I guess it's bound to happen.
Yeah, for sure. You kind of cling to any hair that you can get.
You're coming back to way up north.
Yes.
And what are you gonna talk about this time? Without like giving away the farm, you know, what, just generally.
Yeah. So I'm going to be talking all about enhancing your client experience. So kind of looking at maybe how you're currently doing things and how you can plus one what you're doing at the moment, and kind of giving ideas about, you know, even if you think you might be pretty good at it, you know, where can you improve?
Nice. I mean, I don't think anyone thinks that they're good at answering emails. Maybe some people do.
There's a few out there, I'm sure, that pride themselves on that. That's not me.
I don't trust those people at all. They're like, I get back to every inquiry the same day. Like, who are you?
Yeah, no.
What do you kind of help people after your talk? You know, they're walking out, they're going for lunch. What do you hope they're saying to each other about your talk?
Hopefully it just gives them, like, they're excited to get to work in their business. And like, I'm very sort of business orientated. It's something I really, really enjoy and I love teaching. So hopefully I just give them lots of practical ideas and actually makes them excited about wanting to make changes in their business and, you know, eager to get home and making stuff happen.
Nice. That sounds good. It's always nice to have like the practical, here's what you can do right now to make things better speakers. You know, we can't all be like talking about art and inspiration.
Yeah. I always enjoy getting lots of practical things that I can implement myself when I attend conferences or workshops. So I always like to give that out as well. So.
And you mentioned that you do a lot of education type stuff. So are you going to be like not nervous at all for this talk?
The last time I was on stage at Way Up North, when I came off, I'm like, I'm never doing that again. and I have a few times since. So that was back in 2015. That was the largest stage kind of experience I've ever been on. And then last year I went to BODAF in Barcelona, and that was slightly bigger and a room full of people that didn't really speak English, and having everything live translated, that was even worse of an experience in terms of like, are they understanding me? Did I say something funny? Like, did it stuff get lost in translation? I was proud of what I was proud when I walked away from that. So I'm like, all right, I can do this. Each year I get a little bit better.
Yeah, I find like with the cross of languages, it's funny watching people make jokes in English and then like half the people getting it and half the people not getting it at all. I mean, it really makes you realize, you know, how much subtlety there is in a language.
Oh, for sure. And it's always like a 5-second delay, and then you might get a little bit of a giggle, and it's just that five seconds of like shit.
Yeah, well, it's getting translated. Yeah. I'm not funny at all. Oh God, I thought it was so funny. Yeah. That's fair. Okay, so what else do you do with yourself when you're not shooting weddings, especially now that you're staying home and, you know, have a life?
Yeah, I've turned into a runner. I've been running all over New York City and all other places I go to. So I've been training for like half marathons and marathons, and, you know, I spend at least an hour or two outside most days. Running around the rivers of New York, which is lots of fun. That's been like kind of my main thing the last.
Such a beautiful, good place to run too.
Oh, it is. I actually, like, whenever I go away elsewhere, like I'm running the countryside, I'm like, oh, this is boring. Trees.
Mountains.
Yeah. I'm like, fresh air. Give me New York City grossness. But it is fun. Like, it's, you know, 'cause I'm a visual person, it's like getting out, and particularly, you know, Brooklyn, like you run, like I'm in Williamsburg in North Brooklyn, and, you know, I've run to Coney Island, and like every single neighborhood that you go through to get down there, it's like a 13, 14 miles to Coney Island, and you probably go through at least 7-8 different diverse neighborhoods. And that's just like eye candy for me, just to like take it all in. And that's the best part about it. About running is, you know, there's so much to look at here. It makes it fun.
What do you listen to when you're running? Assuming you listen to anything at all.
Oh yeah, of course. Really bad 80s pop music, which I think is actually really good 80s pop music, but my boyfriend begs to differ.
Amazing. What's your favorite song when it comes on your playlist? You're like, oh fuck yes, now I'm going to run extra fast.
I'll have to pull up my playlist. I'm really bad at kind of remembering songs, but I've got my phone right here. My latest one, I would say, I'm like, what will I admit to? Because it's bad.
We're all jumping.
this is I'm going to embarrass myself. I listen to it. I really like Rod Stewart. Oh, Supertramp actually is my favorite at the moment. Goodbye Stranger by Supertramp.
Yes.
That's my favorite song to run to at the moment.
I hope the podcast editor can hear Break do a little clip of that song just to help us get in the mood. Amazing. I love it. Okay. So that's not too embarrassing. Only a little bit.
That was a good one. Like, I wanted to be the more embarrassing one.
The Germans listening probably love that anyways.
What was that?
I said the Germans listening probably love that anyways. It's like not embarrassing at all.
Excellent.
I noticed the other day that you have two Instagram accounts.
Oh, I actually have three
Instagram accounts.
Five?
Oh, yeah. Okay, here's another one. Four.
Yeah.
The ones I found were Sam Blake, Sammy Blake, New York Elopements, and Sam Blake Weddings. Explain yourself.
So Sam Blake's my main one. And that was like, you know, I started that in like 2010, 11, when Instagram was first new. So it was like, it was before we even knew what to do with Instagram, you know. Is it personal?
Sure, yeah.
Is it business? But that's where I've got my most following. So I've kind of gone through waves of, is it personal? Is it business? You know? And then a few years ago, I started Sam Blake Weddings thinking, I feel like there's a lot of pressure to put like your best shots on your account, but there's lots of shots that I want to post, but what I know won't do well as well, you know, like I won't get as many likes or whatever. And not that you should care about that, but it all kind of do get affected by it.
Yeah. Sure.
So that's kind of more to put my quieter photos or less sort of hero shots. And then the New York Elopements is just for New York Elopements. And I've been getting heaps of bookings that way. It's, I got Dan O'Day to thank for that. He had an account for just like one particular area in Australia that he wants to do weddings at. And so like when people search for, you know, New York Elopements, guess what comes up? It's my Instagram account. So
yeah, so smart. That's a good get. And it looks great.
Yeah. So and it doesn't even have like the biggest following. It's like I only got like 1,000 or something. But it's very, I get the best engagement from it because it's like to a particular niche market. It's just brides or grooms, couples getting married in wanting to elope in New York City. And so I get really great engagement on that and heaps of wedding inquiries. So that's been really cool. And then the Sammy Blake one is just for my like running photos and rock climbing, you know, personal life stuff that I wouldn't necessarily put on my main account.
I don't feel like there's enough cats on this Sammy Blake one. I want more cats on here.
Yeah, I'm really bad at updating it.
There's a cat.
Yeah.
With a costume on. I respect it.
I kind of forget I have that account. And then it's more like when I've like ran a race, I'm like, I want to post my photo somewhere. So it kind of ends up there. But yeah, it definitely needs more cats. Far more cats needed.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could up the cat quotient here, but this is a good one too. I love it. Okay, cool. That makes sense. Is that the only four you have? Now, let's be honest.
Oh, I have two more, actually.
Are they related or unrelated?
One's Out in the Heart, which is my photo workshop. You know, my account, which is just purely for that. And then I have this New York City photography account, which I started, but kind of like I didn't really do much with it. It was more, again, like posting just like my photos of just New York City and kind of had the idea to kind of tap back into my own, like my main account through that and funnel more people.
Cool.
But
yeah. I mean, you can't be in New York and not want to take a million photos.
Yeah. And it's like such a photogenic city that I'm always, whenever I'm out running or, you know, weddings or whatever, I'm still photographing the city. So I've got like a big, you know, archive of New York shots that I thought could actually see.
When you're out running, do you take photos just on your phone or do you like carry a camera while you're running?
Oh, just my phone. The days that I actually take it with me.
What kind of phone do you have?
I got the iPhone X purely so I could take better photos with it.
Yes. I also have that and I love it.
Yeah. It's, I went to an event recently where my friend had it and I was still in the seven, and I saw all her photos that she was taking, and she was like doing live Instagramming from it. And I'm like, oh gosh, it's so much better. And I went and bought it straight afterwards.
Right. It's like, yeah, I saw one photo in like portrait mode and I realized like maybe I think the 8 might have it too, but I'm also just a nerd and I want like the newest iPhone all the time. But the photos are so good. And I mean, sure, I take photos of like weddings that I'm at, you know, just for my own Instagram, but let's be real. This was all about using portrait mode on my dog. And that is what I do.
Yep. I have a large batch catalog of just all the cat photos in portrait mode.
On that note, I think I just followed all of your accounts from my dog's Instagram.
Excellent.
So don't be confused if you see that. I was in that one while I was searching for you.
Oh, good. I'll go find the doggy photos.
That's fine. She likes good photography too, so that's cool. Are you bringing your boyfriend to Germany? Or are you coming alone?
Coming alone. He, like, Americans only get like 2 weeks annual leave a year, and it really sucks. So yeah, we just used up his annual leave. We went to Ireland for a holiday a few weeks ago. Sadly, he can't come. So I'm coming solo.
So he has like a real person job where he has to like go to an office.
Yeah, he has a normal person job and it's horrible. I keep plotting ways of how to make him self-employed. Or I know we can't work together. we'll fight too much. But I keep coming up with ideas. We could own a cafe, but I know that's a bad idea.
Okay, so I have this idea for your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Which is there's a company out of Melbourne. Or Melbourne, that has just started. And I just came across them after talking to, I can't remember who, doing a podcast, but they're called the Arborists. And they don't even have a website yet, but I'm already into it. They just rent really cool, like, arches for weddings. And that's their whole business. And as soon as I saw that, they don't even have any photos of their product yet. But I was like, that would slay here and probably anywhere. Because nobody wants like a boring arch to get married in front of. They want something cool. So if he's at all handy, I think he should weld some really cool wedding ceremony backdrops. And then you guys can work together without working together. And he only has to work on Saturday delivering some arches around.
This is a wonderful idea, except he's a computer technician and his skills are not in...
not in crafty business. Okay, well, hopefully someone else will steal this business idea from these nice Australians.
Hell yeah.
And do it.
It's a great idea,
right? It seems so easy. I was like, maybe I should just forget wedding planning and just rent out arbors.
yeah no, we fantasize all the time about opening a cafe, but I grew up in a cafe, so I also know it's a really terrible idea.
Yeah, it's a tough biz.
Yeah, I spent my entire life living at the back of a restaurant. So,
Did your parents own a restaurant?
Yeah. And they're just about to retire. The business has been in operation for like 32 years or something. And my older sister is taking over the business. So I know it's that life, you know, it's restaurant life's tough life.
But you could have like a cat cafe.
Yeah. Eric. Oh, Australian, you know, like, cafe in New York, because there's not too many of those. There's a lot.
That would be good.
No, there is actually a heaps of cafes
weird Australian here things in there. Yeah, fair. I'm like single and dating, and self-employed is like high on my list because I want someone who can like walk to get coffee with me at like 10 a.m., not like already be gone to work. I feel like that's key.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I had this dream of opening a cabin upstate, you know, like Airbnb it. And then we could go up, you know, both self-employed could go up and manage it. I think that'd be a good lifestyle thing too.
Yeah. I like that. I was going to ask if your boyfriend like shoots with you, which obviously you've answered is not the case. Do you shoot by yourself or with someone?
Majority of the time by myself. You know, I also have second shooters, you know, if the wedding's big enough. I kind of go through phases of liking second shooters and then not liking second shooters. I generally prefer weddings where a second shooter isn't necessary, i.e. it's like under 100 guests, like 60-person weddings, right. My ideal. I just think because it's generally because the big weddings are just, there's so many different moving parts and they're just more stressful weddings, where if it's like, you know, just need one photographer, and it's, the couples are generally a little bit more chill, like they don't want a billion cameras in their faces. I generally like that. So I'm pretty much a one-woman operation, but I'll bring on – I just brought on an associate photographer, actually, and that's been a
– And tell me about that. Is that like somebody who shoots with a similar style to you that you offer up if people don't have the budget for you, or what?
Yeah, exactly. So my associate, you know, she wanted to pick up some extra work, and I saw her as a wonderful fit. You know, we have a similar aesthetic and way of shooting, and so she's, you know, priced, you know, a bit below me. So either if I'm already booked for the date, and people, you know, have already come to my website, they're obviously interested in my work, I can present that as an option to them. Or if I am too expensive, there's a cheaper price point.
And do you just, maybe this is like too intimate of knowledge, but do you just like keep a fee like back from her fee in that case, kind of like a referral fee or like an agent fee?
It's a percentage. You know, so I pay her a percentage of the fee. You know, like my business takes care of all the bookings and the delivery of like the USB and the galleries and slideshows and all that sort of stuff. And I cast my eye over the edits and, you know, I curate everything. Right. So I take a kind of a slightly larger portion than maybe some other setups do.
Right.
And then, you know, I just pay her a set like commission amount and like as a percentage. And that way, like, I'm still, you know, like all her work is edited in with my presets. So say if a client did really want to book me, they can kind of get a similar product without it actually being me. And that's also another thing about having a bit more life balance is learning to kind of step away a little bit, which is really scary. Like my name is my business, you know, and it's been like that for so long. And it's always just been Sam Blake. I've never even been Sam Blake Photography. I've always like I've just always just my name, and then now I've kind of calling it Sam Blake Studios because I don't really know what else to call it. But I needed to kind of separate like Sam Blake from the business a little bit more now. And so yeah, it's been working well. We're getting lots of bookings, so it's a learning to, also the whole be a boss and manage and.
That's a whole thing on its own, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm just a photographer. I just like looking after myself at times.
Totally. Yeah. No, I think that's interesting because I think everybody's looking at, you know, how to have work-life balance and also just how hard it is when you get an inquiry and then they can't afford you, you know, to lose that business is always hard.
Yeah. No, so it's been really good for that. And it's going to be exciting to see where it goes over the next year.
Totally. Yeah, I like that. And you mentioned like your associate uses your presets. Do you have like presets that you sell?
Yes, I do. I released presets through Develop last year, and so that's been, it was actually really amazing for my streamlining my own editing, is like locking in like, okay, this is my color edit, this is my black and white edit, which greatly improved my own editing, because sometimes you'd kind of go between like 4 or 5 different presets, and that also what made it so easy to bring on an associate. It's like, okay, here is the color, here is the black and white, this is the way it has to be done. So it improved so like everything so much. And so even I've now started to even outsource my editing, because I got my presets actually locked in, and, it, you know, there's not much that needs to be changed, you know, like apply the preset, fix up composition, good to go.
Good to go. Yeah, that's cool. I feel like this preset thing is like the last couple of years has become quite prevalent. Do you feel like it's been a good thing for you? Like, do you actually make money from it?
Yeah, no, it's been amazing. It's one cool thing about going through Develop. Like, they approached me, you know, and kind of, you know, it's done as a partnership, is I don't have to deal with any of the tech support.
Right.
And it's been really cool. And also because they have so many different photographers part of, you know, selling their presets through from different, you know, like schools of photography as such, it kind of can expose you to like new markets that may have not known about you, because they have like sort of discount, you know, if you buy multiple packs, you get discounts. Right. So it's kind of like, yeah, like people that may have been following me may have not known about these other photographers on there, and you know, they benefiting too, and vice versa. So just the community aspect of it is really cool. I've been really enjoying being part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. There's a lot of really good photographers on there. I wish that I could buy like Develop presets for my iPhone, and I'd be like, I'd have like Sam Heard week, and then like Sam Blake week, and then like Fair week on my Instagram.
I'll talk him about that. But that's the next step.
Get an app for those of us who are not photographers and want to apply your presets to our iPhone photos in a way that will look prettier than like Instagram filters.
Yeah.
I like it. Cool. Okay. Well, I've taken up a half an hour of your precious life, so I'll let you go. And I guess it's like just over a month, we're going to see you in Germany.
I know. So excited. I'm like, it's going to be like a week break in between like my busiest 2 months of the year. And I'm so also looking forward to it for that.
Are you staying like a little bit longer, or are you just like in and out?
Just kind of in and out in a way, because I have a running race I need to get back for on the Sunday. I originally was going to stay for 2 weeks, and then I'm working towards the New York Marathon, and you have to run 9 races. And
that's
one of the races is one that will get me in. And so I gave up Germany for a running race. That's how obsessed I am with it these days.
You are passionate. Yes. I like that. You got to get home. You got to listen to some Supertramp, and you got to run.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks so much, Sam. And we'll see you in a few short weeks.
Cool. Look forward to it.
Perfect. Bye.
Catch you. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.